That's the goal. This is Keanu, Biscuits and Dave, Season 2, Episode 2. Do you like that as a way of starting it?
Yeah, it's
with
fine.
Me. Do you like that?
It's fine.
I mean,
it's a bit...
Do you want to have a pop at it? You have a go then.
Welcome!
You always do that voice. It's literally like every time you do your presenter voice, you've got like a bang on presenter voice. Can you do a different one?
Welcome, Keanu, Biscuits and Dave, Season 2. Good luck, everyone.
Fingers crossed, eh?
Oh, happy-go-lucky crew we're with then. Nice. Yeah. So we're going to say that in our best presenter voices now, to start off.
Say what?
In our best presenter voices.
No, we got that. What are we saying?
You can say what you want, but you know, introduce the show. Jackson, as your last dying breath.
Welcome to Keanu, Biscuits and Dave.
That's pretty good. Pretty die-y. I'd say you were like the day off death.
That was me dying. That Dave was the last thing I ever said.
No, they could resuscitate you on that one.
I think so as well. He's got like another day, hasn't he? I think, go deeper.
Keanu, Biscuits and Dave.
You are. Dickie is an Australian sheep farmer.
All right.
Because that's what you look like.
Yeah. Listen, guys, welcome to Keanu, Biscuits and Dave, Season 2. Eyes down for a full house, you dags.
You dags. Okay, this is the introduction to Dave's almighty acting classes. Do you like the new name, Dickie?
Yeah, really catchy.
Yeah, I see myself, Jackson, actually, as the Mr. Miyagi of acting.
Ah, yeah.
Stokes' answer to Mr. Miyagi.
Just wax off, will you?
Just wax off. And this, you know, last time we looked at some speeches, and I really want to, you know, delve deeper into how you approach a speech. Mm-hmm. You know, so the first time when you're approaching a monologue, you know, what you've got to realise, and I think this is really key, actually, is often when we're doing a monologue, Alfie's looking at me really interested for the first time today, which is nice. One of the key things you've got to realise when you're doing a monologue is that you're not alone. It feels so lonely when you're doing a monologue. You're like, this is just all on me. But what you've got to realise is that you've got this brilliant, if you've chose a good play or a good speech, you've got a brilliant writer there, actually, who's done most of the work for you. You know, and you know, you need to study his speech, break that speech down into units of action.
Yeah.
So where does it change? Where does the speech change? How does it develop? You know, where does it start and where does it finish?
I like this phrase, units of action.
Units of action, Jack. Units of action is you cut your or do you know about that, Dickie? Can you remember that from your acting past?
Units of acting. I'm just a blank right. Topic now, mate. I'm sick of it.
A unit of action is basically how you break. Let's just do it with a monologue. You can do it with a whole play, but with a monologue, you'll break it down into, okay, this is where I'm talking about us being in Germany, for instance. This now it's moved, and I'm talking about us when we were in Canada together. Now I'm talking about our relationship and how our relationship is falling apart, and we'll break it down into each of those different units of action. If the action changes, and then give it, each of those units of action, give them a title, like a film title.
Like Jaws?
Yeah, if you're talking about,
like, say, mouths.
The dentist.
Or fishes.
Yeah, Jaws, you know, give it a film title to
so would that be like a mnemonic, so it allows you to remember it, or is, you know, to find a landscape of the piece, the colour.
Really well said, Dickie. Thanks, really, mate. Well said. And not just the colour of the piece, you know, but like, so that it becomes like a score. So like a musical score.
20 quid's worth.
Hey.
It becomes like a musical score. So it adds ups and downs and flows, which is how the best speeches are. And we work out where they are by breaking it into the units of action. And then working out, after we've done the units of action, what I want is in that speech. Okay. But then, really, this is so, so key, and I know I spoke about this before, but don't say the word until you've seen the image, okay? So say, if I just describe something that we've done in the past, Jackson. Remember when we were at Shambhala, Jackson, and we were doing Blockbuster Brothers outside the Phantom Laundry?
Oh, yeah.
You see, now, that's a sentence, viewers, that actually means something.
Absolutely.
When we were at Shambhala, as just absurd, an absurd sentence of your life, but true. Yeah,
but true, but true. And because that actually happened to me, I can see all those images. Right. I see all those, because that's what we do as human beings.
Mm.
And so then it's your job as an actor to go through that speech and make sure that you've got images for each of those. Say for you, Dickie, for each of those rustlers.
Mm.
And the rustlers are different than the cutthroats.
Yes, they are.
You know, and the bounty hunters are different than the desperados. And you picture each one of those before you say the word.
Okay, I'll try that.
And it will elucidate and bring those speeches to life.
That's some really, really good information there, Dave. I feel a lot better prepared for what's coming.
Great. Great. Great.
In life.
And, you know, I can really imagine, you know, your speech is going to be a lot better than it was the first time you did it. Now we've been clearer.
Oh, yeah.
With the teaching and with the, you know, Spielberg-esque nature of my face.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I've been a bit crestfallen for the whole of the summer, basically just reeling from that terrible, terrible attempt I made at the speech. And I can't wait to get back in the saddle now and really ace this one, Dave.
Jump on it.
You got this.
Thanks, guys.
Jump on it. Okay, let's do the speeches. Do you want me to do mine first, then?
Why not?
Shall we? Right, I've got to give myself... personally, I didn't see the images, and I tried to be funny, which is deadly.
Is this you acting again now?
No, this is true. This is true. This is not the speech. This is me giving myself feedback. I didn't see the images, which is so... It's so the key to all acting, is if you can see the images, because that's what we do in real life, is we see the images when we talk about things. And I tried to be funny. Never tried to be funny. Okay? The words are funny. The character you create is funny. You don't have to try to be funny. So that's when you're not. It never works. I think the opposites are true of this speech. I need to play where I need to downplay it, and he's drunk and maudlin.
That's, good word.
That's good, isn't it? Yeah. And I want a wolf pack is my want.
So you're a wolf?
Oh, okay, oh, well, just listen to the speech. Let me just get there now.
Okay.
I want a wolf pack. You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack. But when my sister bought Doug home, I knew he was one of my own. And my wolf pack, it grew by one. So there were two of us in the wolf pack. And 6 months ago, when Doug introduced me to you guys, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure. I just added two more guys to my wolf pack. Four of us. Running round the desert together in Las Vegas, looking for strippers and cocaine. My wolf pack. How was that?
It was really good.
Yeah, Jack.
Yeah, not bad.
You don't seem look impressed. That's why I'm asking you.
Well, Jack, a bit of it sounded a bit forced.
Was it a bit overacted?
A little bit. Yeah, you know the bit where your voice sort of trembled as if you were gonna burst into some wolfy tears.
Yeah.
It all got a bit Jungle Book.
Yeah, fair enough.
But it was great, Dave. I mean,
I suppose I was a little bit trying to work out the context to this.
Yeah.
So,
we haven't had any answers on a self-addressed envelope yet to what these speeches are from.
Oh, right.
Do we need to give out an address for that to occur?
Yeah, it's at Keanu Biscuits Twitter or Keanu Biscuits and Dave on Facebook.
Boom.
Send a self-addressed envelope to Facebook.
Like and subscribe.
Yes. Okay, Dickie, now I've gone first. We'll make Jack go second.
Okay.
Jack, last time I didn't give you enough context. Mm-hmm. I just threw you in there, you know, and to give a great speech, you know, we need to know who the character is, you know, what it is, and you know, who they are. Now, you are a general in the army, okay? And I think you really, because he mentions communists a lot, and no one says the word communist quite like Americans do. Who, you know, the vitriol that they put into the word communist turns, you know, it's the nastiest word you can actually imagine. It shouldn't be, but it is, isn't it, when they use often?
Well, yeah, I mean, I suppose, yes.
Yeah. And you need to command respect.
Okay.
That's why I gave you this one, Jackie. Okay. You know? We normally give you a low status, and I wanted to give you a massively high status. I want your want is I want to destroy the communist menace forever. Yeah?
Goddamn commies.
That's it, yeah. Politicians are dirt. Communists are poison. Okay?
Okay. He said war was too important to be left to the generals. When he said that 50 years ago, he might have been right. But today, war is too important to be left to the politicians. They have neither the time, the training, nor the inclination for the strategic thought, and I can no longer sit back and allow the communist infiltration, the communist indoctrination, communist subversion, and the international communist conspiracy to sap and impurify all our precious bodily fluids.
That's counterpoint all over that is, Jack.
Yeah,
that
I'd say fantastic. There's a counterpoint there. Definitely for drive, for intent, for commitment, for sheer vim and vigour.
And I think I should give myself a counterpoint.
Fuck off, Dave.
No, for the great directing.
Ugh, this is no directing point.
To be fair, it was helpful.
Listen. That's directing points.
I agree with you there.
That's a Spielberg point. Which is something entirely different.
Can you imagine if I had a Spielberg point, I'd literally wank myself to sleep.
Ooh. Well, that's one way to get to end the podcast quicker.
God, I'd be so happy with a Spielberg point. Okay, Dickie, so we're putting you last now. Now, I want to see every character, right? You know, last time you were close, but like I say, you mumbled a few of them. Make sure you got your mouth around the words.
Yeah, all right.
Especially the last one. I had no idea what you said.
The last one?
The very last word.
Oh, okay. All right. My mind is a raging torrent, flooded with rivulets of thought, cascading into waterfall of creative alternatives. Shit, kicker. I want you to round up every vicious criminal and gunslinger in the West. Take this down. I want rustlers, cutthroats, murderers, bounty hunters, desperados, mugs, pugs, thugs, nitwits, halfwits, dimwits, vipers, snipers, con men, Indian agents, Mexican bandits, muggers, buggerers, bushwhackers, hornswogglers, horse thieves, bull dyke, train robbers, bank robbers, ass kickers, shit kickers, and Methodists. Ah, shit.
Wow, that was fantastic, Dickie. Yeah. Really, I wish you could have seen his face. I wish we were like on YouTube for that.
That's what ice vovos and hundreds of thousands do for you, my friend. They are kicking in.
Literally, your face is. Are you all right? Do we need a paramedic?
I need a cold crumpress after that.
I mean, that's definitely a Keanu point.
No, right.
Really.
Just getting all the words right.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, I got it, but I messed up a bit. I missed an A. And the singular letter.
I very much enjoyed the ending laugh.
Did you?
Yeah. I thought that was a good, as it says here, laugh hysterically and sinisterly. Really
you pulled that off.
Can I give myself a Keanu point? No. I'll give you a Spielberg point. There you go.
Oh, amazing. Thanks. Well, I mean, I thought I was definitely the worst out of all three of us, you know.
Well, don't put yourself down like
no,
that.
No, I don't mind. You know,
True, isn't it?
So. Yeah, it's true. I didn't get a Keanu point.
But as a sort of director, it's good to sort of set the bar low so that as actors we feel more confident.
I do try and do that. I think that's part of my directing technique is people look at me and think, fucking hell, I can do better than him. Yeah. I think a few of my friends had children for the same reason. As they saw me with a child and were like, if Dave can bring up a child, surely I can. I think that's true.
Yeah. Well, you know, you were the least good, Dave. You weren't the worst. And also, you know,
I was third best.
Yeah, you were. You got a bronze.
Third best. Thanks.
I just wanted to say, though, that... you really helped me in preparation as well, so I'd like to give you another Spielberg point.
Oh my God almighty, this is fantastic.
Mm, two Spielberg points.
I'd love Spielberg so much. Do you know he's my favourite director on the planet?
Well, is that why you look like him? Are you slowly morphing into him?
People have said that before, that I look like Spielberg. Yeah. It's really, there's nothing you could say better to me. What did the last person, what did they say I look like? Anyway. Okay, so SAE, self-addressed envelope. The answers into that, and we'll get you an Arnott's iced Vovo as the prize.
A signed.
Signed iced Vovo.
Yeah, it probably will take ink quite well, actually, the back of that.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, so next it's...
oh, God, what?
Scenes that Jackson wrote. And we're going to record that in our fabulous recording studio in London,
yeah,
as we normally do.
Yeah, yeah.
But there is a little bit here, Dickie, to introduce it. So we've got the megastars back for scenes that Jackson wrote. You'll be well excited, Jackson. Excited?
I'm very excited.
It's the Starship Enterprise with me, Patrick Stewart, and him,
Al fucking Pacino.
Murfield, the 65th Frontier. These are the servings of the Chip Shop Enterprise. Its continuing mission to seek out new life. Provide them with fine fried and battered delicacies. To boldly fry where no one has fried before. Patrick Stewart's log, stardate 09-25-2019. After the initial launch of the Chip Shop Enterprise, it has become abundantly clear that my chief of engineering, Al Pacino, is greatly underqualified for the task in hand.
What's that, Pat?
Nothing, Al.
You know that number you gave me for Mike fucking Lee? It just goes dead every time I ring him.
Look, Al, Mike Lee is an extremely busy man. He's probably researching a new movie and joined a moped gang or something. All right, Al, my good man. Come over here.
Okay, okay.
Now, look up there. What do you see?
It's the fucking menu board.
No, Al, it's so much more than that. It's our scripture, our manifesto. It's the very fabric of this chip shop. So if we are to stand a chance against the Shatner threat, you, my good man, must have a grasp of it, like a sailor clinging to flotsam when lost at sea.
I thought you and fucking Shatner were going to do a play together.
Al, I considered extending an olive branch to that Philistine, but I realize he's opened a gourmet burger place here in Murfield, my hometown. And that is a personal affront and why we must be chip-shape. Now look up there. What's the first thing you see?
I see fish.
Good, Al. Now tell me what kind of fish.
Battered fish, which means it's like KFC style.
No, Al, it's nothing like KFC. There are precisely zero herbs and spices.
Okay, okay, okay. We got hake, haddock, and cod. Hey, isn't that fucking endangered or something?
Al, it's sustainably sourced. Now, we have...
We got chips, which are like fries, but fatter.
And what do we put on chips?
Curry sauce, which is like the least spicy curry sauce ever.
Very good, Al. You're getting it. Now, we have the sausage section. What do you see?
The saveloy.
Good. And a saveloy is not a...
Hot dog. It's not a fucking hot dog.
Excellent, Al. Now, the pillar of the chip shop is...
The battered sausage.
Which is...
The southern fried hot dog.
God damn it, Al. How many times do I have to tell you? Nothing in this chip shop is southern fried, and we most certainly do not sell hot dogs.
Well, maybe we fucking should, Pat. We should sell burgers. All people love burgers.
Stay your tongue, man, before I put you in the brig.
But how are we going to compete with Shatner when he's giving away fucking free burgers on Fridays?
What?
Shatner's giving away...
Yes, I heard. I heard that Shatner has crossed the line. Giving away burgers on a Friday? Fish Friday? How dare he? Al, load up the photon torpedoes!
You fucking... You what?
Shatner better get ready. We are going to war.
That's great.
We haven't chatted enough about other stuff.
We've got a big chat coming up, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't know if I can, you know, this is, I was listening to some the other day, and they described I heard someone saying that we're going through a Keanu-essence.
Keanu-essence. It's a bit more like nuisance, isn't it? If you put the new on the end, Keanu-essence.
Like a renaissance, but with Keanu. How would you say that?
A Reeves-nascence.
Oh, there we go.
No, but they didn't say that.
Well, fuck them.
No, I'm just saying that's what they said.
Oh.
Keanu-essence, you know. Yeah. Because, you know, he's in, like...
Everything.
Everything. Absolutely fucking everything. John Wick 3, Toy Story 4, Bill and Ted 3, Matrix 4's on the way.
What?
So, you know what I say?
How bad can they actually make that?
Bollocks to Keanu.
Uh-oh!
I've literally fucking had enough, right?
It's inevitable, isn't it?
Why?
Because he's just everywhere. It's like, you know, like, I'm happy for him, but it's like, you know, I feel like it'd be like an ex-girlfriend. You know, I want him to be happy in his life, you know, and I want him to do well in his life, but I'm fucking sick of hearing about him.
Yeah, probably.
And there's nothing really, you know, interesting going on. It's just sequel after sequel. And as I'm, at the moment, hating on Hollywood because they can only make sequels and nothing else... I think it's time to move on, gentlemen. I think it's time that we divorced ourselves from Keanu. The only...
Well, you know, you are aware that his massively beautiful run of form at the moment coincides with Keanu Biscuits and Dave the podcast as well. So let's see how his fortunes fare once we flick him off.
Yeah, drop that bitch.
Like a bogey on your jeans.
Literally. I think... So yeah, I've had enough of him and, you know... Well, I want to change the name of the podcast... to someone who doesn't do 5 sequels, someone who's actually a real actor.
No, I think it's quirky.
Someone who transformed. One of the reasons we called it Keanu Biscuits and Dave was we were hoping to get the Keanu audience, weren't we?
Oh, yeah.
And the Keanu audience have seen us and rejected us.
Well, we'd be better off calling it EastEnders or something then, wouldn't we?
No, we want quality actors. The reason...
Coronation Street.
I thought the whole point was to Keanu Reeves, a very successful actor, but also of an attainable level of acting.
Absolutely, Jack, yeah, absolutely. But now we're in season 2.
It's because I said I was better than him, or I said I could at least be as good as him. That's why, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, Dickie, that's right. Mm. But now we've done all our training in season 1, we are better than him. So now we need something else to attain, a higher level.
We'd have to have a Keanu off, though. We'd have to get the man in here to truly make that statement.
It's not
going to
happen. He's just busy doing sequels. Just fuck him off, I say. He's gone. I want him gone.
All right.
You know, and I you know, so someone like Paul Dano, or even better, Benicio del Toro. Benicio Biscuits and Dave.
Benicio del Toro Biscuits and Dave.
Benicio. You don't have to call it the Benicio Biscuits and Dave.
Mm. I was just playing it on in my mind there. I don't know, Dave. I'm scared.
Are you scared?
Yeah.
I think we need to move in. And
suddenly
move on.
Realized that.
Jack, you're right.
I feel a change.
Helen Mirren.
I like it, but you see, the reason I thought about it a lot, I haven't, you know, just come up with this, is that, you know, he's got to be identifiable by the first name. Like Keanu, instant, we know who it is. Benicio, instantly, we know who it is.
Ben.
No. See.
Kingsley.
No, it doesn't work. Yeah, doesn't work. Doesn't, yeah, Patrick doesn't work, you know.
Patrick.
Stuart.
I know.
Yeah. You know, Al, you know. Pacino Biscuits and Dave could wear, but it's a first name. I like it. It's a first name, like my first name. So
I don't know. We need some feedback, people out there. What do you want? Do you want to stick with your old pair of Levi 501s?
And then I can talk about transformation, you know what I mean? How to transform, you know, a flick, you know, when he's in Usual Suspects. You know, he's the first actor, Benicio del Toro was the first actor ever to say his lines and make them purposely ununderstandable. First person to ever do that.
Is that an actual, like, factoid among?
Yeah, that's actually true, yeah. Brad Pitt copied him in Snatch.
Right.
Brad Pitt was like, I'm going to do what Benicio did. That is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And made himself ununderstandable in that. You know, he created a new way of acting, which people use now.
Is that a new way of acting?
He's certainly one of the greatest actors on the planet at the moment, Benicio. Brilliant at transformation. If you want to check out his latest role, Jack.
I will. I'd love to.
He's in Escape at Denimora, which is a prison thing on Now TV. Prison break thing with Paul Dano. Do you know who Paul Dano is, Dickie?
No, the yogurt guy.
who's Paul Dano?
Paul Dano's in the last War and Peace made by the BBC. He plays the lead role in War and Peace. He was also opposite... what's your man name, Dickie?
Is he War or Peace?
he's well, that's what his problem is.
Is it like Dempsey and Makepeace, a bit like that?
A bit like that, yeah. So that's what I want to do. I want to change it to Benicio, Biscuits and Dave.
Well, I'm just gonna say I'm against it because I fear change.
I mean, I definitely feel a little bit like we've got on the Keanu train. And I feel a little bit... It's a little bit
he's even got a train now. He's got a train.
We can keep Keanu points. We can keep Keanu points and so that we refer to him now and again.
We're going to have to go and update all the social.
Have to speak to Lizzie as well, yeah. Get all new pictures made with...
Yeah, with Benicio on there. I know, I'm prepared for it. Well, it's like a divorce, isn't it? You know what I mean? You've got to... You know, it happens.
Well, but to get a divorce, both parties have to agree to the divorce, don't they? You
can't... Well, Keanu's told us to fuck off ages ago.
When?
He would have done if he'd have heard.
Oh, right, okay. I'm going to say, because this would have been interesting to know if you'd been in contact with Keanu and
he'll come crawling back, I'm
off.
Sure.
Once we change it to Benicio, he'll be like, hang on. And then he'll
fear of loss, that's a big one, isn't it? That's a big kicker, that one, yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Benicio, Biscuits and Dave. And then we've got the last few points. We've got Cross Between. Let's move on to Cross Between. Jackson, you are the cross between Sherlock Holmes and Mickey Mouse.
Okay. So what shall I say?
What do we normally say in Cross Between?
We normally say goodbye. Are we saying goodbye?
No, we don't normally say. We've got different ones as goodbye. Cross Between, you just have to come up with that. Impro. Jack.
Elementary, dear Watson.
That's really good.
I think the murder points towards the butler, who was also a hound. And come on, Pluto. my good Pluto, and help me solve the murder. Yes.
Great work, Jack. Great work. Well,
I mean, that just felt like I was doing Mickey Mouse talking about detective stuff.
Yeah. But, you know, you did all right.
Thanks.
Dickie, you're the cross between Winston Churchill and James Brown.
Yes, I am.
We will take them to the bridge and we will fight and we will hit it and quit.
There you go.
Oh, nice. Can you just give a bit of Living in America as Winston Churchill?
Coast to coast, super highway. Easy to get anywhere.
That's shit. No, I can't. I don't know.
I'm living in America.
Ow!
Me, I'm the crisis between...
The crisis between... a cigarette and its lighter.
What the fuck?
Yeah, well, absurd.
Are you letting lame get away with that, Jack?
I'm like Jerzy Grotowski here, mate. Come on, this is a theatre lab. Come on, get your techers out.
All right. A cigarette and its lighter.
I mean, I feel like that'd be maybe a more of a physical...
Very good.
I mean, I liked it.
Very, very good.
I just thought of Grotowski. Just mad as fuck, isn't he?
Actually,
just...
you look a bit like Grotowski.
Do I? Don't know what he looks like. Jerzy Grotowski. He's a Polish practitioner, if you want to check him out. Mad as hats, but he had some great methods. One of the methods, I used one of his methods once, where you actually grow up as the character. Mm-hmm. And so you start off and you're proper.
We should do a show about...
Jerzy Grotowski.
Yeah, man.
It's quite hard because all his exercises take like a whole day.
You mean yes and?
Yes and. Yes, we will. Yes.
Yes and yes. Oh, but the heavens. Waltzing Matilda and
Kiss me, Kookaburra.
Yeah. Let's go straight into, because we've got biscuits from the other side of the world.
Yeah, right. So the story.
Ooh.
Hey. So the story is that in January, I, Dicky Nutter, went to the Australia, and because my bag was so full, I had to mail packets of biscuits back.
We're very popular in Australia.
Now, note that I said January. So, I mean, these are biscuits, and they're Australian biscuits. So, although it currently says that they are out of date from August, oh, that one's June, actually. So we've got some that are out of date from June, and then two that are out of date from August.
I don't believe out of date things. I'm not bothered about that.
Mate,
shit.
Look at them. They're called hundreds and thousands. They're not going off for another 20 years.
None of those biscuits are going off.
So what we've got here then is a great expense. I mailed these around the world.
All we can hear is just you rustling packets.
Yeah, it's
literally
really loud.
It's just fucking, yeah.
But I quite like it, so it sets an atmosphere.
Does exactly. It? Right, okay. Get with the picture, spoiling it.
It's painting pictures in the listener's mind.
Isn't it? Hey, that's what it's all about. If you haven't got a picture, what have you got? It's up to you guys. I mean, Dave said bring two, but I've brought all three. So do you want to do a lucky dip?
No, let's go. Let's.
You want to go with all of them?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So Arnott's. We mentioned Arnott's before because these were the crackers that that tried to claim the invention of the Nice biscuit. Correct. Well remembered, yeah. David.
Thank you.
Keanu, point there for yeah. You see, a good actor does his research and he's on the ball. Johnny on the spot. There you go, Dave. Well done. Bing.
Keanu, point.
All right, so the first packet of biscuits I've got... Do you know what? Shall we go for the oldest ones? Where were them? Yeah. All right, so these ones from June, they're called Iced Vovos.
Ooh.
All right, to any of our Australian listeners out there, they might be getting a little frisson of excitement. They might even, at the very thought of Iced Vovos, begin to metabolise and start to feel a gurgle in the tummy. So listen to this familiar sound, Antipodean friends, as I open.
What does metabolise mean, Jack?
Are you even listening?
I'm just
hard because Dave's talking at me.
So as the biscuits come out of the pack here in the little
What do we call those?
We have no equivalent.
I'd say they look like a sort of dessert version of a bacon fry. No, a crisp.
That's not too inaccurate. Okay, pick them up carefully. Right, so what have we got? We've got like a basic biscuit that could look like it's half a custard cream on the bottom.
Are they hand-carved, the back of the biscuits?
I wouldn't like to say.
I'd say that's hand-carved, isn't it?
Individual. Hang on a minute, you're just ramming them in there.
Yeah.
And then what you've got is like a sort of a pink foam, two lines of a pink... It does look like bacon, Jackson, you're right. It looks like a bit of streaky bacon made from pink foam with a red raspberry...
We do have something like this.
What is it then?
I don't know.
What's that? What?
You didn't mention the coconut sprinkle.
And then there's a coconut sprinkle on top of that. Mm. I mean, I reckon they're probably closer to polystyrene than they are to food. However, that's a fucking tasty biscuit right there.
I can see these being very popular at a children's birthday party.
Now, I can see that's a biscuit for a 3-year-old for sure. I wouldn't eat it after I'd got past the age of 4.
Mm. I'd be well at home next to the party rings.
I'd smash a packet of these away.
Would you?
And there's like a really nice vanilla taste of the biscuit underneath it all as well. So sugary and awful, I love them.
I don't feel like I can dip it.
Why would you want loads of coconut floating in your tea?
Well, exactly.
It's an ice velvet, it's not a dipper, so there you go. So maybe that's a minus point for you that you can't dip it.
Oh, minus 4 points if I can't dip a biscuit.
Mate.
Like for me, biscuits were made for dipping in tea, and that's the be-all and end-all.
Well, that makes sense. Coming from Stoke.
That was your dinner.
So that's ice Vovos, right? Are we happy with that? Shall we move on?
Yeah, we can move on, yeah.
I think it's like a raspberry flavoured sauce in the raspberry flavoured filling.
It is nice. It is kind of tasty.
It's
but I don't feel
special.
Like it's what special.
Yeah, they seem like special occasion biscuits.
Or for special people.
I should have brought a Lazy Susan, shouldn't I?
Oh yeah.
I should have brought a freaking Lazy
Actually,
Susan.
Actually a cake stand.
Alright then. Which one do you want next then? Pick a hand. Any hand.
Right.
Your right or my right?
Your right hand.
Okay, ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, we move on to Arnott's Hundreds and Thousands.
Oh, my word.
Now, I think these are riffing on the great Australian tradition of what's known as fairy bread.
What?
So in Australia, they went through a period of being very, very deprived and struggling, and they would eat white bread with margarine on and sprinkle hundreds and thousands onto it and then slice it in half and hand it out for like lunch and stuff.
That was your cake.
Could be afters, I suppose, but I think actually that was like lunch.
What?
Or dinner or tea, whichever you want.
Okay,
these remind me of the sort of Simpsons donut.
Oh, very much so, yeah, don't they? Point. They all look right. Exactly like the but square.
So again, yeah. You've got a vanilla-y sort of basic base biscuit. You've got then some icing, like proper icing, and set into that a hundreds and thousands. It looks like a little camp galaxy that I'm staring through a window of a spaceship into. But these ones are really addictive, Dave. Jackson, watch out.
Are you not dipping it again?
I'm just going straight for it.
Are you dipping?
I'll have a dip now.
I did dip, yeah.
Right, you've got to be careful because these ones have got like an after hook and you can smash a packet of these in 10 minutes. It don't work, Duncan. They're not dunkers, are they?
No.
Dave, don't throw them down like that. They've come all around the world.
But I want the biscuit to be dunkable. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand.
Well, these are more like desserty, aren't they? I mean... You're into your like wheat-free digestives. I've seen you.
Dave's, I like that. Dave's done like a wine tasting thing where he's just had a little bite of the biscuit. It's not really finished the whole thing.
Well, I don't want to get fat because of this program.
I definitely recommend you have a little palate cleansing slug of tea in between.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's good. It's good. It's just sugar though. It's just pure.
Yeah.
Sweetness on top of sweetness with sweetness.
Pink icing with hundreds and thousands with a little bit of biscuit on
the bottom. Well, maybe this. Here's a word from Mr. Arnott, the Arnotts.
Let's try and get an interview.
What do you get when you take a yummy vanilla baked bicky and top it with delicious pink icing and generous sprinkle of hundreds and thousands on top? The happiest little bicky ever! Here you go. 150 years they've been baking for.
This... packet is 150 years old.
Not far off, my friend. Still be fresh as a daisy, though, when we get there. Now,
I don't want to, like, knock all Australian biscuits, but so far, the biscuits you've given me, I would say are shit. Not because they're Australian. I'm a big fan of Australians. I am, honestly. I am a massive fan of Australians. They're the only people we can have, like, a proper, take the piss out of each
banter.
Other. Yeah, proper back. Thanks, Jack.
Sledging.
Proper sledging and banter, and we both enjoy that sledging and banter, you know. It's
what,
not...
you and the Australian?
Yeah, me and the... There is one every day, I see, actually, yeah. But these biscuits are just shit.
Oh, dude, look, I didn't bring them. I shipped them at Greg's personal expense.
Well, I'm happy about that. I'm glad. I mean, I think Jackson likes them. Jackson?
Cost 60 bucks to mail these, mate.
I did.
Really?
Yeah.
This is the biggest budget podcast we've ever done.
It really is.
Wow.
We really need a sponsor.
I do. So there we go. So that's Ice Vovos, strawberry marshmallowy, coconutty...
Yeah, you've
goodness.
Been through that. Next biscuits,
bacon.
Hundreds and thousands.
I think you're missing a trick here by not mentioning that, unbelievably, the hundreds and thousands have a no artificial colours, flavours or preservatives label.
So there you go, you see. So now we can discuss the health aspect of the hundreds and thousands.
Are they one of your five a day?
Possibly. I mean, if they're not using artificial, they must be using natural.
I can see that, you know, a kid's party, these will go down a storm, absolute storm.
Maybe the hundreds of those little fruits, strawberries and oranges, lemons.
Tiny berries.
Limes. Blueberries look a bit washed out, but that's all right.
But I can't see how this is biscuits for adults. It's really not a biscuit for an adult.
Oh, you're so grown up, Dave. Right, okay, we're moving on then to the final instalment of today.
This is the one I'm most interested in.
Trippidian biscuits. Right, this one is Arnott's Lemon Crisp. Ooh, look at that. They look like a packet of Ritz with some cheese inside. But they're not, my friend.
They look like exactly like Ritz.
So, ladies and gentlemen, boys, girls, and everyone in between.
Oh, the smell's gorgeous.
Don't they? These are called lemon crisps. They've got almost like a Ritz cracker, like a look on the outside. They're oblong, indentations.
You know, actually, the people who make these in the cracker form,
use.
They also do a biscuit that's lemon like this.
They do, don't they?
They do.
So, yeah.
No, don't they do.
This is Arnott's version, yeah. It looks like it's going to taste of cheese and hollandaise sauce, but in the end...
One whiff takes me to a Sicilian lemon grove.
Mmm. And as you'll remember, Jackson, Sicilian lemons have appeared on the biscuit section before with the Marks and Spencer's cookings from...
Finished number two.
Did they in the end?
Yeah, number two in the chart.
Reassuringly expensive, Dave.
Now that's a grown-up biscuit.
Hang on.
Whoa, lemon crisp, yeah.
I'm going to switch. Keep talking.
That's a grown-up biscuit.
Why?
That's a grown-up biscuit. That is a grown-up.
Actually, do you know what I think these are? Just lick the biscuit. Forget about the cream. There's salt on there, isn't there?
There definitely is salt on there.
I mean, it's kind of confusing, isn't it? Because it's like, it is salty, literally sugar. One of those Ritz crackers, but with a sweet lemon filling.
That's exactly what's going on. Now, and that, when you mix sweet with salt, that's when all your taste buds go cray-cray.
Yeah.
And you become instantly addicted, so... Although I've said the hundreds and thousands are addictive.
I think
I realise now the danger of the lemon crisp.
I really wanted to slam this biscuit because I was like, lemon biscuits? Lemon? It's going to be disgusting, but it's actually delicious.
And to say it went off last month, it's pretty still crispy as well, isn't it?
It's really crispy, yeah. I mean, they'll literally dissipate and grow as we've opened them. They'll fall apart. But that's a really good biscuit. I'm really surprised.
We can't eat them all. I've got to take some back for the wife. She insists. Fizzy Fingers wants to eat some ice Volvos. She's not going to get a whiff of those hundreds and thousands. They'll be gone by the time I get home.
That is a great biscuit. I'm really surprised.
So out of those three, iced Volvos, hundreds and thousands, and lemon crisps.
Shall we give them a score each?
Do you reckon?
10?
Shall we power on? So listen, I just want to touch base with the Australian crew out there and just say, I hope that was enjoyable for you, living the Coles biscuit aisle moment.
Do you think I'll be safe after what I've said about their biscuits? I mean, the ice Volvos are shit.
Safe is not a word I'd use to describe you, Dave.
Hundreds and thousands. What are they called?
Hundreds and thousands.
That's what they're called?
Literally hundreds and thousands.
I mean, that's a fucking terrible name as well, isn't it?
Iced Volvos, hundreds and thousands, and a lemon crisp.
But I'm a fan of the lemon crisp. Arnott, you've done well there. So I'm going to go.
Okay.
Because I just don't think they're like a proper biscuit, these first two. They're like a more of like a cake, like a biscuit cake.
Definitely biscuits, my friend. There you go. Net 200 grams biscuits.
Yeah, I know they are. But I know they're selling them as biscuits.
Net 210 grams biscuits. You get 10 gram more for your iced Volvos. Here, it's like top loads more, isn't it? And they're 200... Lemon crisps, 250 grams of telling biscuits.
You. Yeah, that's a rock solid biscuit. So I'm going to go for this because I think it's a cake. I'm giving it. I'm giving it a three.
Ice Volvos only get three. Australia. I mean, he's called Dave Lover. You'll find him in Easton, Avon, Bristol.
Because it's not a biscuit. This pink thing is just one of the worst things I've ever tasted in my life. It's just literally.
I am shocked.
A square of sugar with no discerning taste or flavours or depth.
Nonsense.
I'm going three as well for that. But
Dave, you're just being belligerent and
I'm
difficult.
I'm really not. I just think it's a bad biscuit. I think it's a really bad biscuit.
To be fair, I agree with you. On the surface, you look at it and then you crunch it and all the little hundreds and thousands in your teeth and you're like, this is a fucking shit biscuit.
Yeah.
But then the after hook of the taste comes in.
Is it?
And it propels you onto the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one.
That's just sugar.
It's not.
I feel quite sick, to be honest.
Just the amount of sugar overload.
I feel a bit queasy, which is definitely deducting some points. I'm going to say that the tasting experience, I'm going to give 10 out of 10.
Oh, what?
Really enjoyed the sort of Australian platter and talk.
Platter?
You're like a biscuit sommelier.
Yeah, nice. Nice.
Don't you use the S word in here.
So I've got two threes.
Two threes.
And the lemon.
The lemon crisp.
I'm going way up. I'm going nine.
Is it the lemon? Is it the health aspect of it?
It's the zest. Mm. It's the zing that it makes me feel. It brings me alive. Mm. Makes me feel fresh. It makes me feel awake. It's one of those biscuits where you're eating it and you do actually feel more healthy after you've eaten the biscuit.
That's great because it is covering like
you
sweet and savoury.
Talking rubbish.
No. I mean, if you had six of them, you wouldn't feel like you're healthier. But one.
Look at that little forlorn pile of half-nibbled biscuits.
I think
there.
You've got scared, Dave. You got scared by the Australians, so you're trying
There's
to...
There's no gluten
No,
there.
No, I really like the lemon crisp. I think it's a fantastic biscuit. I'm really surprised. It's like a custard cream or a bourbon cream, but better.
Isn't it? Well, is it the cheesy biscuit swerve that's got you all
I think it's
you,
the little bit
of
salt
off,
as well.
All off kilter. Yeah, and the salt aspect, yeah.
Or maybe it's because the other two biscuits are so shit that when I got to the third one, I was like, oh, that's amazing.
It's quite possible.
Yeah. I think it's fair to say, Dave, that if you just like palming Vovos and hundreds and thousands off of shit, you better not go to Australia.
Well, I'm going to go in 2.5 years to reclaim our ashes. Thank you very much, Australia.
Oh, well, are you?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, well, my fish has been to the MCG.
Your fish?
Yeah, it's a wooden fish. My mate took him to the ashes, but I have not been yet. But I'd really like to go to Australia. If anybody wants to pay me, Arnott's.
And it's at the MCG you're going to?
Yeah, if Arnott's want to pay me to be their brand ambassador.
Yeah, I think that's going to work out well.
Jack, you've got some scores?
Just purely on the fact that they're just too sweet for me. I'm going to do 3 for the bacon fries,
mm-hmm.
3 for the bathroom tiles,
mm-hmm.
and 4 for the Ritz lemon sandwich. Come at me, Australia.
I mean, to be honest with you, with a slur like that, I'd just stay in the Northern Hemisphere.
You're going to be on Good Morning Britain, Good Morning Australia, do you know what I mean?
Maybe I will, yeah.
Literally, this guy said...
a three and a four. Only a four for lemon crisps.
What have you got then, Dickie?
Well, ice Vovos, I think they're a bit much. I do think they're a bit much, and they are like a kid's party thing. So I'd probably say about a 6 for me, because they just don't have that Moorishness, you know, that like maybe crack or heroin does. Right. The lemon crisps, Dave. I'm gonna have to disagree with you. I think that there's something about a cheese wafer with salt on and fake lemon paste in between that's just too confusing for my taste. But yeah, it's a bit like goat's cheese. All those, you know, those chocolate lime things that are a boiled sweet, and then they go to that crumbly horrible chocolate in the middle. It's like that. It's like, why have you done that?
Right. Yeah. You know, I like a bit.
What a shit combo.
Did you like sugar, sweet and salty popcorn?
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I don't.
I call it snack crack.
Snack crack. Well, so it's sweet and salty. It's like openly going, come and get this.
You've not been there?
I've tasted that, yeah, a bit. It is a bit much. It does make you feel a bit sick and a bit headachy if I get too much sugar.
What?
Yeah, I know.
What, give us a mark.
A mark.
The lemon.
Vovos are what, 6?
That's what you
lemon thought. Crisps, gotta say, a 4. I know, it's bad. But hundreds and thousands, 10.
Wow.
Fuck off.
Yeah, look at
Fuck
them.
Fuck off.
Kitsch camp tiles, it's like staring into a... like staring into Barbie's universe through the porthole of your spaceship. And then the vanilla-y aftertaste that just keeps on trucking.
Okay, so 10. Shall we write those scores down somewhere?
Yep, they're going into the computer now. There we go.
Great. So, I mean, I can't remember what happened in the first episode.
It doesn't really matter. So
what's the average score? So you've got 9 and 3-3. You say 10.
I said 10.
10 and 3-3, 16. That gives us an average score of 5.3.
Why 5.3? What,
I've worked it out, shut up. And this one, what's this one called?
An iced Vovo.
An iced Vovo. That got 3 from me, 3 from you, and...
I give that 6.
So that's 12 out of 30, so that's 4. That's a 4. And the lemon one, what did you give it? A 3?
I give it a 4.
4, and you gave it a 3.
No, I gave the lemon one 4.
Okay, so that's 18, so that's I think that's the winner.
The Ritz lemon sandwich.
Yeah. the Ritz lemon sandwich is the winner. That's got a six, an average of six.
Sorry, Australia, I tried.
What do you mean you tried? That's
a great expense. Tried
I mean, it's not very high on the actual biscuit scale in total, is it? Six. No, so thank you, Australia. Thanks for
bloody ginger nuts did better than any of them, well, and they got reviewed twice.
You bought them fucking ginger nuts.
I'm sick
in,
of
though.
This.
You bought the fucking ginger nuts in, and Rosa bought the ginger nuts
yeah.
in. So don't fucking rewind to that shit, else I'll just lose it.
I'm not
talking
what?
About ginger nuts again.
Got to move on from biscuits anyway. This has already been the longest biscuit section.
So should we have done three packets in one go?
That was a triple bill.
Triple bill.
You know what?
Okay, so Dave's almighty... He's just going to rustle his way up.
Saving my biscuits for later. You can hold that. Oh,
can I not have another one?
No, you can't.
So check out Australian biscuits, everyone. They're not as good as good old English biscuits. And I'm not just saying that because I'm English. I'm saying that because it's true.
Right, I'm never bringing any biscuits again.
Okay. Next time, I think we can move on. So we've done Australian biscuits. We've done Irish biscuits.
Yeah.
British biscuits, obviously.
French biscuits.
Did we have French? Oh,
Nice.
Yeah, kind of French, yeah. Next time...
Did someone bring in cookies? Oh, yeah, they were Irish, weren't they?
They were Irish, yeah. So I'm going to bring in some gluten-free biscuits next.
Yeah, from the planet Gluten.
The planet non-Glutard. Glutard. That's what Pip called. Pip's so nice.
Yeah.
Isn't she? Philippa, really nice.
Oh, that Pip.
Yeah, and she's really nice. And then the first time I met her, I was like, oh, yeah, I can't eat that. I'm allergic to wheat. And she went, oh, you're a fucking Glutard.
Yeah. You see, I knew. I knew. She'd listen to me. She's iffy.
Okay, so this is us saying goodbye from Benicio Biscuits.
What is
and
that?
Dave.
It already?
You've done 50 minutes.
Yeah.
Come on, let's give him another 10. Let's talk some shizzle.
Right, Dickie, say goodbye as a drunk Frank Sinatra. Oh,
well, that's just Frank Sinatra.
Really drunk, pissed out of his face, talking to Sammy Davies.
Sammy. Sammy. I gotta say, how do you say goodbye? Oh, goodbye.
Nice. Jackson, goodbye is a rambling pillhead.
Do you feel that between us? We've got like a real connection. You're wicked. But I've got to go now. All right. Check you later. See you soon. I love you. Kiss her. Yeah. It's been a really good evening. Oh, mate. We will definitely hook up on the Facebook. See ya. Bye. Love you.
Fucking hell. I told you to just do half.
I'm giving Jackson a Keanu point for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I really like
it. Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
Bing.
And I've got to say goodbye as Dr. No.
A bit negative.
I've no idea what Dr. No sounds like. Why have I written that for myself?
He says, I expect you to die.
So, was he Vincent Price?
Dickie. Jackson. Goodbye.
No.
Cut.